Freddie, the two main questions about crop circles are who's making them, and of course, what do they mean? Let's try the who part. Have you made any progress in your investigation at all with regard to who is doing this?
Very much so. In fact, it was one of the first things that intrigued me, and I came across very, very early on in my work on the transcripts of a renowned psychic in England called Isabel Kingston, who has since become a great friend of mine, and I've worked with her closely for many, many years. And I was reading over some of the transcripts, and it gave me a lot of clues as to what was really going on. And just to quickly qualify this person, because obviously there are good channelers and there are those that are not so good, and there are good lawyers and not so good lawyers. So just to qualify her, she was a banker. So she's someone who obviously used a very analytical mind to make her living. And she developed her abilities to an incredible degree where the police in England, when they're at a miss to find out who committed a certain crime or where a certain body is buried, they actually go and knock on her door, and she has a near 100% record of working with them, and always very, very quietly. She's very self-effacing, no great sense of self-importance, and, like the rest of us, doesn't make that much money either. She's someone who can be trusted, and having known her for many, many years, being privy to the information that she has revealed, and actually having that information proved in front of me, for me, has been very a great way to validate the information that she gets. So, back in 85, 86, 87, at a time in England when the words crop circle really were not heard, I mean, these things were happening, and it was a local folklore. It was very rare. Farmers had been used to these, what they called devil circles and witches' rings, all the way back into 1890. But it really was a sort of a rare and local phenomenon. And one day, she happened to have been in a channeling session. She was a trance medium. And she accidentally vectored in this information from a universal consciousness that called itself the Watchers, who actually seemed to pop in and out of our history all the way back to the Egyptian times. And back then, they were referred to as the Neter, the creator gods. And they gave her all this information about the this emerging phenomenon that would be making its appearance throughout Britain with geometric light structures based on sound. And when she sort of channeled this after they read the transcripts, the whole group was shaking their heads going, what on earth is this all about? And in the middle of the transcript, they said, well, within 7 days, we will give you a sign of our intent at the foot of your Hill of Silbury, which is Europe's tallest man-made conical mound, a very enigmatic pyramid, if you like, in the south of England. So they decided to go at the base of Silbury Hill 7 days later, and lo and behold, those were the first series of what they call the Celtic cross crop circles, which is the central circle with the four little circles arranged like a cross. And that's when they realized, oh, that's a crop circle and a geometric light symbol. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I began to read all the transcripts with great interest to find out what this is all about, and began to realize that the information that she was receiving was getting validated more and more. I mean, she was predicting where they were going to appear, what they're going to look like. The timing was always a little bit off. It was always within 24 hours or 48 hours. But the information was getting predicted and also validated one day after the next. And so I began to take a lot more interest in this group consciousness and what they were involved with and the purpose to why they were making these shapes. And over the course of the years, I've been able to prove it bit by bit.
Okay, Freddie, again, the question was who, and you keep referring to we as you read the transcript. So who?
Well, like I said, it's a universal consciousness called the Watchers. I'm sorry if I'm digressing. It's about 2:30 in the morning where I am. So thank you for bringing me back.
Okay, so is the who us? In other words, we are the consciousness, nearly as I can tell, here on Earth. So are you suggesting that this universal or group consciousness, that we are the ones doing this?
We are actually involved at a subconscious level, because what happened was, and again, going back to the transcripts, this universal consciousness was saying that we as a group consciousness, in other words, as a human consciousness, had asked for help. We were worried about the state of the world, and a great number of people, in other words, say 51% of the population of the world, at some point in the 20th century, sent out through our prayers, through our thoughts, we asked for help from the outside to try and figure out that we had lost the plot down here, that we basically were making a mess of the whole earth. We were getting tired of this, you know, this usage of a very few people in power who are controlling so many people, and basically creating the situation that we're in today. And this universal consciousness, and some people call it, they call them gods, they call them angels, some people even call them fairies.
Okay.
They basically have been around for millions of years, but essentially they are the core group of beings who are around and whose sole purpose it is to guide humanity through its more critical stages of development.
All right, and then if I've heard you correctly, we essentially consciously or subconsciously prayed for help, recognizing the pathetic condition of our Earth currently, and I can certainly attest to that. And we're getting an answer, is what you're telling me. And so, okay, let's say that we are receiving an answer. Then, Freddie, how far have you come in discerning what we're being told?
Basically, because a lot of the symbols that began appearing in the early days could actually be deciphered by Aboriginal tribes and ancient tribes, because a lot of those symbols are actually etched into their rock art. It's etched into the memory of the tribe. I mean, there are many symbols that can you show them to Aborigines, you show them to Navajo, to Hopi, and they'll say, "Oh, this means that." And that's where the first basis of the communication came about. We began to realize that this was an archetypal communication. The second part, and again going back to the transcripts, was that the information based on this that was coming from this group consciousness was veiled. In other words, the reason why they called themselves the Watchers was because they could not actually do anything for us. They could only help us and try and move us along. We would be doing the work ourselves. And so the symbols, they were saying, would work subconsciously. And that's when the geometers down here began to look at the symbols and recognize, well, wait a minute, the positioning of these circles, the positioning of these rings in these designs, there's something unusually harmonic about the designs. And they began to realize that they were absolutely coded with an invisible array of what we call sacred geometry. And that kind of geometry is actually inherent in our own DNA. When you actually take the human DNA molecule apart and look under the microscope at the crystalline structure, it's actually composed of hexagons and pentagrams stuck to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So all that geometry basically was encoded in these simple symbols, and it was talking to us subconsciously, and it was waking up part of the human psyche that basically had we just shut down for hundreds, maybe thousands of years.